This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Glynis Board. This morning we're talking about pictures and who takes them and what that means in Appalachia.
I don't care if they're allowed to take pictures on public property. You know, people are not public property.
That's coming up. This is West Virginia Morning. Yesterday, West Virginia University reported its highest number of daily coronavirus cases among students for the second straight day. Dave Mistich has more.
The 48 confirmed student cases reported Thursday out of 408 tests given equates to a positive test rate of 11.8%. It marks the fourth straight time that a rate has exceeded 10%. By comparison, the statewide seven-day positive average was 2.9%. On Wednesday, Governor Jim Justice shut down bars indefinitely in Monongalia County, citing crowds of unmasked students and an increase in positive coronavirus cases. Justice had allowed the bars to reopen on Monday. Monongalia County includes the WVU campus in Morgantown. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Dave Mistich.
A county court in Kentucky unanimously passed a resolution in mid-July stating a Confederate monument on courthouse grounds would remain. This after weeks of protest, and protests persist. Liam Niemeyer has more from Callaway County, Kentucky.
Yeah, so I've been out here 5 hours at this point. Started heading this way around midnight.
It's 4:53 a.m. Saturday morning earlier this month. I'm standing out near the Confederate monument with Sherman Neal, the Murray State University football coach who first sparked calls to action to remove the monument. Neal stood by the monument throughout the night as a part of a 24-hour protest calling for the removal of the monument. But he didn't come alone.
I think the question changes from, am I willing to persist, to are we willing at this point in time? Because frankly, I didn't come here with a single piece of chalk, a single sign, a single water bottle.
Other protesters that night, several of them Murray State College students, brought chalk to draw images including a burning Confederate flag and phrases like Black Lives Matter on the sidewalk. And this 24-hour protest is just one of six straight weekends of protest at the monument since the county fiscal court said it would stay. For advocates, the persistence is about putting pressure on county elected officials. But they also say they don't have much choice.
If the fiscal court's not going to do anything and the UDC's not going to do anything, then what is there to be done?
That's 33-year-old Shelley Baskin, who's one of the protest organizers. Baskin says the local chapter of the United Daughters of the Confederacy won't talk with removal advocates. The fiscal court says the chapter owns the monument and should have a say on its future. Callaway County Judge Executive Kenny Imes told WKMS he wants advocates and the chapter to come to an agreement on what should happen with the monument. But Baskin believes it's a delay tactic to take responsibility for the monument away from the county.
And the fiscal court is saying the UDC has the authority to move it if they want, and so it's up to them. So they're both, you know, pointing at each other and saying, talk to them, while neither one of them will talk to us.
Imes, in a statement Wednesday, said the fiscal court does have the power to move the monument, but that the court believes the majority of county residents want it to stay. WKMS has tried multiple times to reach members of the Murray chapter of the UDC for comment without success. In the meantime, conversation about the monument continues. Some residents have written columns in the local newspaper about it. Others have put up yard signs calling for the monument's removal. And Murray faith leaders in early August published an open letter calling for the relocation of the monument. One of them is 41-year-old Timothy Davis.
I can't understand how anybody who say that they're a Christian would want to leave such a hateful sign right in the middle of town.
He's the pastor of Greater Hope Missionary Baptist Church in Murray, leading a predominantly black congregation of about 60 people. Davis says while younger people protest at the monument, he's showing his support by signing that letter. But he worries what the future could hold with past tension between protesters and counter-protesters.
I could not believe that there was people up there guarding that statue with guns.
One weekend, a protester stood in front of the monument with a shotgun. And while the monument gatherings have largely been peaceful between protesters and counter-protesters, Murray police have requested to charge a man with harassment who sprayed water at protesters during a separate weekend. And Murray police also charged a man with assault in June for allegedly macing protesters. Removal advocates have planned a march to the monument for Friday evening, the 57th anniversary of the March on Washington during the Civil Rights Movement. Despite his concerns about tensions, Davis says he's making plans to be there.
There are not many people who are going to stand and say something when it comes to injustice, but anytime you back people in the corner, they get tired of being treated like that, and out of that arrives what we have now.
He says the faith community has to rely on each other to make a change, not just on politicians. In Murray, I'm Liam Niemeyer.
Photography in Appalachia has a long and complicated history. Who gets to take our pictures? Who gets to tell our story? On this week's episode of Inside Appalachia, we're broadcasting a 2015 episode called What Happens When Strangers Come to Appalachia? To get a bit of an insider's perspective from someone who lives where an incident involving out-of-town photographers took place trying to take photos of kids, Inside Appalachia host Jessica Lilly spoke with McDowell County native Sabrina Schrader.
I really thought it was shameful. They did not have a relationship with anybody in the community, and no one knew who they were. And, you know, we don't have kids yet, but if anybody even takes a picture of my dog without my permission, I'm going to be upset because it's my dog and or my home. I don't care if they're allowed to take pictures on public property. You know, people are not public property.
Well, and why do you have such strong feelings about this? Where do you think this comes from?
Of being criticized throughout my whole life in pictures or at school or at work, constant criticism of how I'm supposed to look, how I'm supposed to talk, what's right, what's wrong, do it this way, do it that way. That's partly what it stems from. And then being someone who grew up living in generational poverty in my family and the whole McDowell County, I just don't think it's ethically right or moral to go take pictures of people without their permission, especially children.
A lot of people say that this is, you know, obviously the parents in McDowell County felt strongly about it, had similar feelings like you. There have been other incidents, one in Kentucky, as a matter of fact, where an individual photographer was actually killed by a Kentucky resident because they were taking pictures of their property. So obviously there's some really strong emotions. Again, where do you think these feelings come from of distrust from photographers and taking these pictures and these images? How have Appalachians been portrayed in the media?
The feelings come from being oppressed. In the media, they're portrayed as and labeled as at risk, uneducated, resistant to learning. I mean, they think we're all dumb and that we don't want better, that we're lazy. You know, I feel sorry for the photographer and you know, that was killed. I don't think that's right. I don't think we should be a bunch of vigilantes. However, if you're put in that situation, what are you going to do? Are you going to do something? Or are you going to call a police officer who may be 2, 3, 4, 5 hours away and wait on them to come and help you? No, if you're wanting to protect your children and protect your property and what you have, then you're going to call your neighbors and say, hey, something doesn't look right out here, and let's go see what's going on.
And what would you say to the critics out there that said that the way that the citizens in McDowell County acted was embarrassing and they were embarrassed of the people that acted that way?
I think that you're not understanding where these people are coming from, that you're not putting yourself in their situation. And apparently you must not understand what it means to be oppressed. what it means to have to work for something that is never yours, to live in cold camp houses that are not yours, and to have to pay for them, and to have to pay for things that coal mine owners owned. They own our mountains, they own our land, and they own our people. We have been slaves to rich people, to rich men in Appalachia. We've been slaves to what they want because we want to provide for our families.
That was Sabrina Schrader speaking with Inside Appalachia host Jessica Lilly. To hear the complete interview and more of this episode about photographers coming to Appalachia, tune in Sunday at 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. on West Virginia Public Broadcasting, or find it online at wvpublic.org. By the early 1980s, British progressive rock band Genesis had evolved to become a full-blown force in pop music. Their influence has continued for decades, inspiring countless groups with varied musical styles. In 2010, Mountain Stage brought pop ensemble Claire and the Reasons to Morgantown, where they performed their take on That's All by Genesis. It's our song of the week.
Just when I thought it was going all right, found out I'm wrong when I thought it was right. It's always the same, it's just a shame, that's all. And I could say day, you'd say night. Tell me it's black when I know that it's white. It's always the same, it's just a shame, that's all. And I could leave, but I won't go. It'd be easier, I know. I can't feel a thing from my head down to my toes. Why does it always seem to be me looking at you, you looking at me? It's always the same, it's just a shame, that's all. Turning me on, turning me off, making me feel like I want too much. Living with you's just a putting me through it all of the time. Running around, staying out all night, taking it all instead of taking one bite. Living with you's just a putting me through it all of the time. And I could leave, but I won't go. It'd be easier, I know. I can't feel a thing from my head down to my toes. Why does it always seem to be me looking at you, you looking at me? It's always the same, it's just a shame, that's all. Truth is I love you more than I wanted to. There's no point in trying to pretend. There's been no one who makes me feel like you do. Say we'll be together till the end. Ooh. Just when I thought it was going all right, found out I'm wrong. Just a shame, that's all. And I could say day, you'd say night. Tell me it's black when I know that it's white. It's always the same, it's just a shame, that's all.
That's Claire and the Reasons covering That's All by Genesis on Mountain Stage. To hear this and more, tune in Friday and Saturday nights at 8 right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our Appalachia Health News Project is made possible with support from the Charleston Area Medical Center and Marshall Health. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Caitlin Tan, Jessica Lilly, Liz McCormick, Dave Mistich, Brittany Patterson, Eric Douglas, Corey Nollinger, Emily Allen, and Roxy Todd. Andrea Billups is our news director. I'm your host and producer, Glynis Board. This is West Virginia Morning.